What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another edition of Free Country. It's good to have you back. Happy Monday. Happy work week. Yeah, happy work week. Don't be sad if you're driving into work right now. I hope it's a happy work week for you. I hope your summer is going well. It's weird that we're pushing August. We're about to be in August. That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, this summer has been crazy for me in general. I've left my job, and I feel like that happened at the very beginning of July. So where the heck did this month go? I don't know. It's been a major hustle. And today's been a major hustle. I'm recording this late. It is late on Sunday night, and I'm getting to recording this, but it was just a busy day. I went home to Richmond for my father's 62nd birthday. The old man, old Walter. His brothers call him Fat Wally. Fat Wally turned 62, and he's not fat. Props to my dad over the last, decade, dropping the weight. He's basically low carb these days, and so am I. But he turned 62. We went home for that, and it's always interesting going home, and the family's excited that the channel is doing well and stuff, and I get very sensitive whenever I'm given feedback, but of course your family gives you feedback, and I never know what to say, but it was really, really nice to go home and see my family, and that was awesome. And then they were like, I can't believe you came all the way here just for 2 hours. And what I didn't really explain to my parents is that, I mean, there was something in it for me. There was a nice free meal at a nice restaurant because my dad was picking up the tab. Because I've started budgeting this week. I've always budgeted to a degree, but I have committed to this envelope system. I think it was started by Dave Ramsey, but I've only seen a few of his videos on YouTube. But I'm now doing this envelope system where I get, you put the amount of money that you're going to spend in an envelope each week, and that's what you can spend. And I have started doing that now, just with food and drink. I have given myself a budget of $100 per week. So from, when I wake up on Monday till the end of the day on Sunday, I get $100, and that's to cover all of my groceries, all of my going out. And that feels like that should be very doable, That doesn't feel like that should be a crazy difficult task to just stick to $100. But it was really hard, I don't shop at like Costco and like cook in bulk and everything, and so this week was a major adjustment for me. And look, I'm a single dude, and the culture of my friends is you go out and you go do things, and so it was hard to just stick to $100, and I was gone. My money was done on Thursday. But it's okay because I had cooked a lot of food. I mean, I cooked a bunch of stew and I cooked a bunch of bacon to eat for breakfast and I had a bunch of cold cuts. And now I'm excited because I'm going into this week with some stuff already made. So my $100 is going to go a lot further. But there was something in it for me to go home for Dad's birthday and get myself a free nice meal for lunch. So I don't know. Have any of you guys done that? Have any of you done this whole envelope system? There's definitely something different that happens when you're taking cash out of an envelope. And I think most people reuse the envelope. Most people use it maybe week after week and they just put new money in it. And let's say you spent $93 and you have seven left. Then you just add the next, $100 if that's your budget. You add that into the envelope in cash and that's what you have to spend. I was a little extra in setting it up. I set up like 2 months worth of envelopes preemptively, and they're all sealed, and I had to have $100 in them each. So I'm ready to go. That is my frugal food budget, and it might be too much. I think I can actually work with this. Now that I'm going into this week having done a lot of shopping already and having a lot of food in the fridge to start this week, I think it's going to be way easier. And I'm just trying to get in control of... I'm a pretty frugal person, but definitely the most excessive area of my budget is food and drink, which I think is true for a lot of people. So I'm fighting convenience culture. Anyway, enough about that. That's why I went home. Last week's podcast, really well received. I mean, that podcast did better than most of them do. And so that was pretty cool to see. A lot of you guys enjoyed it, enjoyed a little bit more of a format. A lot of people reached out with responses, especially to the idea that I was talking about Billy Currington's details and how his woman is leaning 45 degrees to the left every time she's going to kiss him. Now, many of you have suggested that, you know, that is normal and that it's just a head tilt, but it doesn't say the way you lean your head 45 degrees, and that would work syllabically if they just added like your head in instead of to the left. A lot of you say it's just a head tilt. I don't think the evidence is there that it's just a head tilt, but a lot of you say, you know, that's normal. And then some of you have taught me about your kissing habits with your significant other, and thank you for letting me know that. I still say, I stand by what I said. It's an extreme angle. It's an extreme angle. Also, thank you to the people that reached out and told me that chicken wings are overrated. I felt very seen in that moment. The channel had a good week. I put up two videos this week. One was about under-the-radar artists that I really, really find myself loving and that don't have many followers or are only big in the Texas scene. I covered five artists, and that included Charles Wesley Godwin, Gabe Lee, Emily Scott Robinson, Yola, and Flatland Cavalry. I mean, you guys know Flatland Cavalry because they're always, you know, the intro music on the podcast, but I was worried about that video. I think I'm hesitant sometimes to put some under the radar people on my channel because, you know, it is a numbers game, and I want to make sure it's appealing to a lot of people. But that video did well, and people were really thankful for it, and the feedback was amazing on it, and I was really excited about that. The other video I posted was a video called How to Prove Your Country Music Street Cred. And that video has also done really well, and people have enjoyed it. What's been interesting about it is really a tongue-in-cheek response video to some of the reaction to my top 10 list of all time of my favorite country songs. A lot of people thought that that list, you know, shouldn't have the Dixie Chicks, or it proved how young I was, and that it should have more Hank, and it should have George Jones, and it should have some of the greats. And I don't know, I just felt kind of attacked by a certain faction of country music purists. And so I made this video to kind of show, in the friendliest way that I could, like, some of you people are annoying in how you want people to prove their country cred. You want them to say the right thing of which songs they like. And I made 10 different situations in which you could prove your country cred and how you might go about doing it. And I think like 95% of people really got the joke. And it wasn't a joke. I mean, it was like, in some ways, kind of serious, but it was pretty joking. But it was just funny because at the end of it, I still got a bunch of comments that were like, these are the songs that you would use to prove your country street cred. No Lefty Frizzell. There's no Chris Ledoux on this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Guys, the point of this video was to say that there is a lot of country music out there. And there's a lot of people that have different ideas of what gives it cred. And music is really, really, really subjective. And it was just funny. I think what I'm learning on my channel is that for so many traditional country music fans, they have felt repressed and or unable to present their opinion. And they haven't really had an outlet to do that for a long time, as they felt like country music has become so popified and the industry has kind of moved on without them. So when they are given a little bit of an opportunity to do so and to speak, it really comes pouring out of them, their passion, and for some people, their anger and their resentment that the sound of country music has changed. And I think I got to be a little bit less sensitive to it and not take it as any kind of statement about me, but maybe instead about their passion for some of these artists, because there's a lot of people that really, 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 really want, you know, Loretta Lynn or Lefty Frizzell or people like that to be remembered. And maybe that feeling of them not being mentioned or being forgotten is triggering or something to them. But all in all, that video has been really well received, and I think people find the humor in it and the history in it and the, I don't know, the breadth of what country music has been for so long to so many people. Coming up on the channel this week is going to be a really, really fun video where I'm going to get to show my new little studio that I've been working on for a good while now. I mean, I've been working on this video that's going to post this week for, probably 4 months. So I'm really excited about this one. and excited for it to post, and I hope it does well. I've put so much more work than is probably necessary into this video, so it would be cool if it did well. But that's what's coming up on the channel this week. There wasn't a lot of news in country music this week. There was a lot of kind of these big performances that happened. I know that Mason Ramsey and Billy Ray Cyrus sang at the Grand Ole Opry together. They sang Old Town Road, which they had both been featured on. We did not get a Dolly feature of Old Town Road, but we did get Dolly singing with the Highwaymen. The Highwaymen are the supergroup, Amanda Shires, Brandi Carlile, Maren Morris, Natalie Hemby. We talked about their first song, Redesigning Women, last week on the podcast, and we'll get to their new one, Crowded Table, on this week's podcast. But Dolly sang with them at the Newport Folk Festival, and her and Brandi Carlile specifically sang I Will Always Love You, and it was really beautiful and really cool. So that was kind of neat. And then, like I said, Billy Ray and Mason Ramsey sang at the Grand Ole Opry. And a few people asked me to talk about this, asked me to talk about, you know, what do you make of them singing Old Town Road at the Opry? I don't make much of it, to be honest. I think Old Town Road became this kind of other weird thing, and I decided this is not going to be the hill I die on. This song became, it was cool for reasons that had nothing to do with music. It became a symbol of so many things to so many different people. Whether it was counterculture, whether it was the blending of genres, whether it was just trolling the system, whether it was like a manifestation of the internet, or whether it was just funny. Somehow, people were able to imprint whatever message they wanted onto that song, whether it's, you know, a representative of it being country trap or whatever. Somehow, that song just became bigger than just about that song. And obviously, Lil Mason and Billy Ray both have been featured on remixes of it. Billy Ray's is by far, you know, that was the ultimate chess move that turned that song into a mega smash, was getting him on there. So I don't make much of it. I think the Opry has done a really good job of keeping themselves relevant. I do think that they have done that a little bit at the cost of some of their institutional values over the last decade. It used to be that artists really had to meet their performance requirements of singing 10 times a year at the Grand Ole Opry, and pretty much none of the big people that they induct do that. Carrie Underwood has maintained all of her performances, but I think she's the only major label artist over the last decade that has actually done so. Now they just kind of induct people a little bit willy-nilly, and they might sing two times a year when they're not on tour, and they, you know, produce content for their YouTube channel, and I think they've actually done a really good job of keeping it a relevant institution. But like I said, that viable modern brand identity has come at the cost of some of what, you know, made the Grand Ole Opry a functional, respected institution. So we'll see if that kind of is a short-term play or a long-term play. It's difficult to say. I mean, I think we're in this kind of this difficult season for so many of these old-school companies that are, you know, trying to stay alive in a new media world. And as much as I'd love to just, you know, trash the Opry for letting Old Town Road get sung there or for loosening up their membership rules, I don't know how you survive in a modern world. And Nashville's changed a lot, and so they're just trying to figure out things, and I'm not that bothered by it, to be honest. So the first album I want to talk about this week is Justin Moore's Late Nights and Long Necks, because it's definitely the biggest release of the week, and I really liked this album. This is Justin Moore's one that he's back with. He's been gone for quite a while, but Justin Moore has had trouble, I think, kind of launching this album. I mean, his last two singles haven't been monster hits. He had a song last year called You Look Like I Need a Drink, and I really enjoyed that song. And then this one launched with a song called The Ones That Didn't Make It Back Home. And that song has not really blown up the charts. It's kind of a tribute song to our veterans. But it's actually really an outlier on this record. This is an album about drinking. I mean, I've never heard an album so focused on one subject as this, but on the whole, I think he pretty much sticks the landing here. Cause we're still kids, cause we love doing things, cause our daddies did, cause it's alcohol abuse if you pour one down the sink. Yeah, that's why we drink. For being such a one-note conceptual record where literally, I would say, I think 7 out of the 10 songs on here are just about drinking, and not like they're about having a good time and alcohol is involved. They're literally, it's like, why we drink, Jesus and Jack Daniels, on the rocks, airport bar, never gonna drink again, someday I gotta quit. Those are all titles on this, and they're all specifically songs about alcohol. This record is kind of, for being so one note, as I was saying, it's actually, I think, really good. I think he kind of nails it. The music on this is beautiful. It is so kind of traditional sounding, really cleanly produced. It has lots of steel, lots of nice guitar. Even on Good Times Don't, you can hear a little bit of light drum brushing, and there's tons of steel all throughout this, and I think the sound of it really breathes.
Chevy got away from a square body. Tractors don't just come in green. There's a lot of new names for granddaddy, a lot more brands than Wrangler jeans. I don't know about you, but if you're anything like
the ones that didn't make it back home, if that's all you've heard from this, that's kind of this thudding sound compared to the rest of the record, which really feels kind of like it harkens back to the 90s, like so much of the popular country sound right now. And I am loving this 90s revival in sound. Now, lyrically, I think this record's actually really good because there are literally every song on this record, with the exception of one that has three writers, has four writers credited. There's a lot of writers on all these songs. But of that, like, and you think about, you know, 10 tracks, four writers each, that's 40 credits. But there's only seven guys that all of these songs are attributed to. And it's mostly like Casey Beathard and David Lee Murphy and Chase McGill and Paul DiGiovanni, who has really started making a name for himself in Nashville. And I remember him as the guitarist of this kind of pop punk band called Boys Like Girls. But I know he got popular working with Danning Shea, and now he's, you know, written, he's got a co-write credit on most of this album. I think the songs are actually really good. It feels like maybe they said, let's make an album about drinking too much. And, like, it's almost a songwriting challenge where, because they put such a tight boundary around the subject matter on this album, it does feel like they did a good job coming up with some interesting puns and some interesting situations. You know, mama loves Jesus, daddy loves Jack Daniels. That's an interesting concept. Sitting alone at an airport bar and not having gone on the flight you were supposed to go on with this girl, that's a sad, good country song. Wanting whiskey on the rocks because your relationship is on the rocks, that's good wordplay. There's tons of, I think, like, good wordplay in all of these songs that make them really listenable. And I think, you know, if anything, listening to this album makes me just want Justin Moore to go to counseling. I don't think he seems very good at processing his emotions, because it's like, you're drinking a lot, man. Is this the only thing you know to do when you feel good or feel bad? He says, it's alcohol abuse if you pour one down the sink. So that's why we drink. And that's a great line. Again, lots of good lines on this record. But I think it might be alcohol abuse if you just drink this much, dude. Because he even gets that little touch of self-loathing on something like, someday I gotta quit. But there is like a pretty huge lack on this record of just sort of other shades of Justin. It's like, he has a song called That's My Boy, so I guess he has a son, which makes me think he has a wife. It's like, do you love her? Or if you're divorced, do you resent her? Or do you ever feel self-doubt? Or do you ever encourage a friend? Or do you do anything but drink? Because the one-noteness does get a little bit tedious, and it just makes me think, wow, maybe he doesn't know how to access those emotions because he just kind of knows how to drink. So anytime there's some feeling of affection or friendship or laughter, he just sort of wants alcohol. So maybe Justin Moore just needs a good counselor. Maybe we need someone to teach him to get in touch with his emotions. Because he's drinking too much. He's drinking too much. Someday he's got to quit. He says it himself. But, you know, for now, if you're going to drink too much, I think he made a really good record about drinking too much. I think it sounds really nice, and I think it's a major, 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 like, return to form for him, honestly. I really like this record. He kind of got sucked up in the bro country thing. Everyone did. But I think it seems like a lot of those artists that went down that rabbit hole are kind of coming back and making a little bit more of a mature sound, even if their drinking habits still aren't yet that mature. But Randy Houser did that with his album Magnolia earlier this year. Now Justin Moore's doing the same, and it's cool. I do hate the song Small Town Street Cred. You know, that it's weird. Street cred, that has come up in my life, not only in my own video on my channel about country music street cred, but Small Town Street Cred is about proving that you ain't one of them city boys, and I'm just so over that. I don't like, in general, when people feel the need to prove their cred. I don't like having to prove mine to people in the comments, and I don't like the idea of just sort of unifying your audience of not being from the city. I just think that's stupid, and the album is so kind of smart in so many ways, and that one just feels kind of dumb. But on the whole, I really, really like that record. The other big release this week was actually from Mason Ramsey, who I know we've already talked about. Yodel Boy himself put out a new EP called Twang, and this is following up his famous EP that released on the same week last year, and this is such a big improvement. This is such a big improvement. I really like this EP. She likes my cowboy hat, but she loves me for my twang. This, I feel like, is an EP that delivers on the promise of him being known as Lil Hank Williams. Because it is full of songs that actually sound like, you know, like a 12-year-old, as traditional as a 12-year-old can be. This kid is 12. You know, these sound like they have some traditional country music instrumentation. There is actually some steel in here. There's not these kind of overproduced poppy snaptrack songs like Famous on this record. And they actually use his yodel all throughout this record. He's going into his upper register and doing little yodely things like on Twang. You know, there's still some awkward moments on this record that, like, how could I not? Where I think that song is awesome, but, you know, he talks about picking a girl up in his four. You're like, well, you're 12. And so there's still some of those. But on the whole, I think this record sounds really good. And there's some really big co-writes on this. I mean, Tyler Hubbard and Brian Kelly, both the members of Florida Georgia Line, they both have co-writes on this. Brian has two, Tyler has one. There's a Tennille Towns co-write on this. Tennille Towns, if you've heard Somebody's Daughter, that's a great song. She's currently on tour with Dierks Bentley. And there's a John Party co-write on this album. So these are not, like, little writers at all. These are big writers writing these songs, and they sound good. I think Puddle of Love and Twang, I mean, all of them really sound pretty dang country. On My Way is a pretty cheesy song, kind of like The Climb. On my way. That is kind of his I'm a Dreamer song, but honestly, that's probably the most age-appropriate one here. The rest are songs that maybe he'll grow into in his catalog, but I really think the sound of this album is such a vast improvement, and it really showcases what's special about his voice and the yodel. It really fits the whole brand a lot better than the Famous EP. I didn't get the Famous EP because I felt like, okay, so you're branding yourself as Lil Hank Williams. That's literally your Twitter handle. And you got Famous singing Hank Williams, and you love old traditional country music and grew up with your grandparents, but, like, yeah, you're going to make this weird pop country record. So I just feel like this is such, they nailed it on this in terms of kind of course correcting where he was going. It doesn't seem to be selling huge numbers or anything like that, but I think this will pay dividends down the road. And I still worry about Mason, you know? I don't think fame is really good for anyone. And I don't know that it's good to become famous when you are 11. And I mean, he is touring and he's playing to some really big crowds. And he's obviously on this Lil Nas X remix. And I know his parents aren't really in the picture, but I don't know much else. I just worry. I just want the best for him, and I don't want it all to be too much too fast, and I don't want him to look back on this and think I didn't have a childhood. And so I hope those words he's singing in On My Way about wanting to chase his dream, I hope those are things that he's feeling. And he seems to be kind of in the big loud machine, and those guys all, like, you know, that's kind of like Florida Georgia Line's crew, and I know that's some kind of inside baseball, behind-the-scenes stuff. I just hope they're treating him well and there's good people in his life that care about his well-being, his development, his emotions, because he's having a weird experience of 2 years, and I want the best for Mason Ramsey. I want him to, I don't know, just be a real human. And it doesn't often go well when kids get famous that young. So there's Dad Grady. Not a dad, but there's my dad concern for little Mason Ramsey. The Highwaymen also released the second song from their upcoming album. This one's called Crowded Table, and it is a co-write with Natalie Hemby and then one of my very favorite songwriters ever, named Lori McKenna. And this is a song about just getting along and envisioning a world of unity. And the chorus goes, I want a house with a crowded table and a place by the fire. Oh. A really nice, beautiful message. It really fits with kind of the vibe of Lori McKenna's last record, one that is wholesome and homey, focused on the home, and kind of envisioning the table around which you sit as this sort of larger metaphor for unity as a world. And yeah, it's a really, really, really nice song. I think it sounds good. I am not into, though, all of the kind of unison singing that we're getting on these Highwaymen songs. If we want to guard it, we're gonna have to sow the seeds. Plant a little happiness. Let the roots grow. Like, they don't sound, that doesn't sound good to me when all of the women are singing at the same time. I like when they break into harmony. I like when we get to the chorus, but something sounds, I feel like unison singing is only for children's choirs on the final chorus of an inspirational ballad. I think of Angels Among Us by Alabama. And when the kids all come in at the end, that's when you have unison singing. But for this, you know, country supergroup, I think just give one of the women the solos on the verses, and then you come in harmony on the chorus, right? Right? But I like the sentiment of the song. I think the melody, the hook, is really there. Honestly, I think it's a lot more there than it is on Redesigning Women. The last one I wanted to mention is the new song by the Zac Brown Band called Leaving Love Behind. I believe, yes I do, the hardest part is always leaving love behind. I believe, yes I do. This is a song that's going to come from their forthcoming record, The Owl, that was announced this week. This is interesting. You know, the Zac Brown Band released their cover for this album called The Owl. It looks like they are standing in the Forbidden Forest by Harry Potter. I'm very scared that Aragog is going to run out from behind them and eat one of them. That's the big, you know, spider thing. Acromantula, if you're a Harry Potter nerd. I think that's what it's actually called. But they said in the press release for this album that they're working with, there's collaborations with everyone from Max Martin, who's a huge pop producer, to like Pooh Bear, who's another EDM producer. And gosh, who else? A bunch of, just basically a long list of EDM producers, among others. That's what it says. And obviously, we already heard the first song, Somebody That I Used to Know, from this record, and it is very, very poppy. When you keep on losing with the path you're choosing, and it's time to let go of someone that I used to know. And we all heard that kind of one sort of semi-viral moment where he was singing God Given and rapping about Gucci bands, stacks on stacks. And it's definitely, you know, these first two songs from this record were feeling kind of like a midlife crisis for the Zac Brown Band. Like, what the heck is going on with this record? Why have you forgotten about, you know, the rootsy sound that you just returned to? I'm fine. I always say this. I'm fine with artists going and doing what they want. But the Zac Brown Band has been this weird mix of really outspoken about country music getting worse and how they think That's My Kind of Night is the worst song ever. And then they released Jekyll and Hyde, and it was this weird kind of overproduced poppy album that then had some country songs and some just kind of pop anthems. And then they decided, like, you know, we're going to go back to our roots. They released a song called Roots. They've released an album called Welcome Home, and it's kind of grittier and back to their big rootsy band sound. And then they turn around again and make this one. So it's not that artists can't wander. It's just they've been very outspoken in how they've wandered. They've been, you know, asserting a lot of countryness and then, you know, leaving it really quickly. And so they vacillated quickly. And now it just feels like, what the heck is going on? Is there a direction for this band? So I'm interested to see how this record turns out. In some ways, I'm like, well, at least they're going for it. If you're going to make a poppy album, you may as well go for it. And it seems like they're definitely going for it. But to add to the confusion, here is this new song, Leaving Love Behind, that is really stripped back. It's just got some piano. And this seems to be Zac Brown really addressing the divorce that maybe has triggered a lot of this change in sound and soul searching. Because, you know, he's gone through a split in recent years. And this is a song that is essentially saying, I'm sad. And the saddest part of this breakup is leaving the love behind. It's not just that we're not seeing each other and all that. It's really that I don't have this kind of place to direct my love. It's maybe a little underdressed up. I guess I'm just wondering if I'm one of the many other members of the Zac Brown Band right now. What am I doing? Do I feel like I have a role on this new album? Am I going to have stuff to do during the live shows? Because either we're getting a lot of kind of synthier sounds that seem to be just part of a producer track, or we're getting something really stripped back like this, where it's like, there's not much there's not much role for all you guitars and basses and fiddle. But I'm still interested to hear the Owl. I think the Zac Brown Band has, I don't know, some great music in them, and I often love what they make, but I just don't really know where they're at right now. And maybe they don't know where they're at either, and maybe that's okay. It's a free country, you know? People can do what they want, they can go where they want, and people can choose to listen to stuff or not listen to stuff. But those are the songs I wanted to check out this week, and that's kind of it, guys. I mean, I know there wasn't a ton to talk about this week, but it's okay. There might be a ton to talk about next week, and there's a ton that's going to be up on the channel. I'm really excited to have kind of this new studio space to be able to use, and I don't know, I just feel like a man when I leave my house and go to my office and work from there. It's a nice feeling. I feel like, wow, I'm actually doing something. So not just doing something in my bedroom, you know? So thank you guys for all your positivity, all of your support, and I hope you have a great week, and I hope you have something to listen to. Check out this Justin Moore record. And maybe send him something nice. Send him something nice that helps him process his emotions. Because otherwise, he's just going to be drinking another beer. And he's had enough. I think he's had enough. We can all agree on that. So that's it from me, guys. You guys have a great week. And I'll talk to you soon. No shade of green could describe feeling trapped inside her eyes. Red lipstick from the blood of all them